I'm Ed Smith.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. I hope that you're being blessed by these Bible studies and what little commentary I have. I hope it's more interesting than just listening to plain Bible reading. And though that's a good thing to do too, if you have that available to you, it's better than listening to, as the scripture puts it, the Song of Fools. That the world enjoys so much, the Song of Fools. You have the Song of Fools in the mainstream media out there, and they get on and they rant and they rave all day and don't say a whole lot of anything. The Song of Fools, you know, I used to work on as a carpenter, as a journeyman carpenter on work sites. And everyone would bring a radio, or someone would bring a radio, and you'd listen to the Song of Fools, and they'd have these stupid romance songs all day, where all they sing about is the love between a man and a woman, you know, in every aspect of that you can imagine, good, bad, evil, adulterous, fornication, other or otherwise, just the Song of Fools continually, on and on. Nothing, no wisdom, no understanding imparted there whatsoever. The Song of Fools, yes. So it's I always preferred, if I was on my own job site or if I could have a choice, I would turn on some good Bible teaching and listen to Bible teaching while I work. And when I got tired of that, you know, if I wanted to hear some music, well, then it would be music that praises the Almighty and lifts up my spirit and nurtures or admonishes or puts me in a spirit of praise, and just a huge difference from the Song of Fools. So you have all your variety of the Song of Fools out there, from the rock and roll to the country, you know, to whatever. To just play nonsense and all of the rap trash out there. No, not for me. I can't abide or endure the Song of Fools. So we have the Word of God and the few. I mean, if you go on 100 work sites out there, 100 job sites, if you find one that is listening to something, you know, perhaps 10 out of 100 will be listening to people like Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones or other people like that, where better material than that. But it's unlikely to find one in 100 that will be listening to godly Bible teaching or truly good admonition or worship and praise music. Yes, the Song of Fools, whatever form you can take it in. Okay, we're in Job, and we're going to finish it up, it looks like. We have no choice. We have more time than we have Bible, for at least the book of Job is fairly exhausted. We're in the last chapter, that is chapter 42. Of course, the Almighty speaks to Job, and his friends are there with him. And who can answer? He can ask questions that no one has an answer for. We can observe and understand and gain an understanding. And I see in some of the things that, you know, like Eliphaz and the young man, these guys sought to speak things that were true. And what they spoke were their own observations and their understanding of those observations, which some of them, I see, are overturned by the utterance of the Almighty, who speaks out of the whirlwind before them all. So anyway, the Almighty ceases to speak here, and Job answers the Lord, and he says, I know that thou can do everything, that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Yes, can we think a thought and the Almighty doesn't know it? Nothing. We can't withhold any. You can't hide anything from him. And people walk through their lives. They live their lives as if they can hide things from the Almighty. And you know, that's a great temptation when people come to the knowledge of the truth and say they repent of their sins. And they pray a prayer of repentance, and then they start walking with the Almighty. And of course, as it happens, there is no temptation except such as is common to man. So we all fall. We all fall down when we begin our walk. You know, perhaps we have a grace period where we stand for a while, but then the trials and the temptations, and they come, and of course we fall. All of the babies in Messiah, they fall down. And then Satan comes to them and tempts them. It's part of the trial, you know. It's just really part of the deal. And he says, look what you did. Yeah, look what you did. Now how can you go before an almighty God? You should be ashamed of yourself. You know, Satan has many disguises and many manners of trying and tempting people to keep them from the Heavenly Father. And because he wants you to run and hide. You know, kind of like Adam and Eve did there in the garden. They hid themselves. But how long can you hide? Not very long. But I say, when you fall down, you know, this is a lesson I learned. That when you fall down, get up. Call on him. Don't run from him. Don't hide yourself. Look for him. He already knows, you say, he already knows what you are. Is there a thought that he doesn't know that you had? Is there a sin you've committed that he hasn't found it out? That he didn't know it before you committed it? What are you going to hide from him? Absolutely nothing. You need his help. That's right. You need to run to him in the middle of your sin and say, I don't care. I'm not going to even allow my sin to separate me from you. Yeah, that's the point I got to in my life, you know, wrestling and struggling with sin. I just said, okay, I give up. I can't even allow my sin to separate me from you. So here I am, I sin. Help me. Teach me obedience. So learn to run to him. He'll teach you obedience. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Don't give in to that temptation to hide your face. How can you go before a holy God? Look what you did. Yeah, so what? Look what you did. Okay, now repent and learn obedience. It's okay. He already knows. There's nothing hidden from him. There is no thought that can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. That is Job saying, I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." So the Almighty vindicates Job in the sight of his friends. "Therefore take now unto you 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me that thing which is right, like my servant Job." He vindicates him a second time. Now, here we see a demonstration. And, of course, when we started the book, we see that how Job made sacrifices. And this is before Moses. This is before the children of Israel in the wilderness received, you know, the law and the statutes, which were codified or written down in the books, in the first 5 books of the Bible for us and for the children of Israel to establish that nation. So we see that the sacrifices pre-existed Israel and actually go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. After the fall, after the sin came, there was a little meeting there. Yes, and there was a high priest who made some sacrifice, and he clothed them with the skins. Now, we don't get a whole lot of detail, and most people just skip over it and don't see it. I'm sure if you were more of the mind of a Jewish mind, so to speak, or an Israeli Hebrew mind in that time, or in the time that they were making sacrifices, you would see it immediately. It doesn't readily appear to the, well, should I say, to the Gentile mind, those of the other nations, or those that are separated from the whole priest-temple sacrifice system, which even the Jews have been separated from for the last 2,000 years. But it was there from the beginning. And we see that that tradition, well, perhaps what would you call it, the sacrificial rite, those rituals, we'll call it the rituals, the sacrificial rituals were handed down from father to son. And we see that demonstrated in the story of Cain and Abel. You know, there was a day when the sons of men came to present themselves before the Almighty, and they made those sacrifices. And so we have here Job, a righteous man, still making the sacrifice before the Mosaic Law, before it was codified. So here's a man who walked in obedience, even making the sacrifice, looking forward, because that's what the whole sacrificial system was all about, was a looking forward to the Redeemer of mankind. It was a symbol, and it was a symbol, it was a ritual that was carried on in obedience to the Almighty, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So here, the Almighty, he commands them, and that's how, going back to there was a day when the sons of God presented themselves, that's pretty much how we began the book of Job, and it said that Satan came among them. But the sons of God were men. They were not fallen angels. They were not Nephilim. They presented themselves, and they brought the sacrifice. Now, we know before the flood that the whole earth was filled with violence, and most people did not carry on the sacrifice. Only those that were righteous, only those that wanted to live in obedience, looking forward to the Redeemer of mankind, that promised seed of the woman, carried on in obedience and made the sacrifice. That's where we see the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel brought the proper sacrifice. Cain said in his pride, he said, "God has to accept whatever I'm going to give him. The labor of my hands, not sufficient." You know, that's called works. When we try to pay for our own sins, we still die in them, because the wages of sin is death. And unless the Messiah's blood covers our sin, There is no redemption. We have no way to escape. Yes, you can pay the price for your own sins. That's an option. That's an option for you if you want that. But it's not. It's a bad plan. I'll tell you, that's a bad plan. See, because the problem is when you pay that price, the price is death. And you won't be able to rise from the dead. Nope, there's no resurrection for those that pay the price for their own sins. Who in their pride do not need a redeemer. I don't need a savior. Yeah, well, okay, yeah, I guess you're right. You could pay the price for your own sins. Unfortunately, that's the option that most people choose. And they'll end up paying the price for their own sin. That's very unfortunate when so great a salvation is available to all mankind through the Redeemer of mankind, the gospel. I see it in the whole Bible. I see it in the whole book from the beginning to the end. You know, even Messiah said, he said, you search the scriptures. He was talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, and he called some of them hypocrites. And he said, you search the scriptures. But he said, they are they which testify of me. Yes, the gospel is there in the whole book. When the apostles rose up and the disciples of Messiah, and they went out and preached in his stead after he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Messiah, all they had was the Old Testament. When the Messiah returned and he walked with them on the road and he hid his person from them so that they couldn't see who he was, and he went through all the scriptures and showed them how all these things had been written beforehand. It was the Old Testament. It's all there from the beginning to the end. That's why Job proclaimed it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he proclaimed that he would be raised up in the last day. He believed in the resurrection. Our great hope, the resurrection from the dead, in by the blood of the Messiah. So, you know, if you're having a hard time, you know, selecting that option, you know, where the Messiah, you know, you need a Savior, you need a Redeemer to pay the price for your sins, because the price is too high. And it's a bad choice to select the option where you pay the price for your own sins. Bad, bad, bad choice. Uh-uh. You're not going to be happy with that at all. You know, the only good thing about that option is you get to enjoy the pleasure of sin for this lifetime while it destroys you at the very same time. And then when you pay the price for your sin, because that's what you choose, you will not rise from the dead, because death is the price. And death isn't just dirt like all the atheists would have you believe. It isn't just dirt you get recycled into the soil. No. You were created in the image of the Almighty. The spirit of an animal or the beast, it goes back to the earth from where it came. But the spirit of man goes upward because we were created in his image. And you don't want to be there in that second resurrection where you're going to be held accountable for everything you did in this life without the blood of the Messiah. You're not going to be happy with that outcome. So it was after that, and so it was, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. So when we go through Job again, or if you ever go through it again, consider that the Almighty said that the words of Job were right, but the words of these other three were not right. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks. Okay, we're talking about the sacrifice, how it was from the beginning. And it was all a looking forward. Now, the Messiah has put an end to the priest temple sacrifice system in the middle of the 70th week. He was there hanging on that cross. And before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. And it's recorded in the gospel there that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. He put an end to the sacrifice. He put an end to the priest temple sacrifice system in the middle of the 70th week, just as it was foretold by Daniel the prophet. So we no longer, from that time, no longer do we make the sacrifice. He put an end to it. But Job, in obedience, and all of those that were looking forward to the Redeemer of mankind, in obedience, did make sacrifice. And here they're commanded. He says, he tells them to offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went, and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemimah, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And this, after this, lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. And that's the end of Job, but not the end of this broadcast. So you're listening to Cross the Border, and my website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like to you to go there and sign up for my blog. My website is a blog, a WordPress blog. So you can subscribe there, crosstheborder.org. And I'll be back after some messages with, we'll see with what. I don't even know right now.
That we might be forgiven. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
The Greatest Prophecy DVD from Across the Border Productions. Embrace the little known, the greatest prophecy given by the great high priest, the once secret plan for mankind at the first sacrificial event. Believe it. Behold the end times in Daniel chapter 2, because
the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure.
It is the key to prophecy future. Comprehend the 7-year great tribulation, deception. Be not deceived. Understand the great prophecy delusion, because
if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Be forewarned. America in prophecy, exposed for all to see. You must see it. The mark of the beast. No, it's not a biochip implant. A much better and more secure technology is already here, and you are already using it. We will bonus you with a free copy of Richard Bennett's groundbreaking work, The Inquisition, when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Visit the shopping page at our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Send your support donation of $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Avenue, Tulare, California, or $30 U.S. for international priority mail outside the USA. A wise man is forewarned and prepares for the times to come. Will you be ready? The Greatest Prophecy, DVD.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
There is now a great financial crisis developing over the entire world. This has happened before. It was called the Great Depression, the first trial run of Satan's monetary system implemented in 1913 America by the Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury in order to bring about the numbering of every American and to use the wealth of this great nation to build the foundation for a new world social order. This current global Great Depression is as much by design as the first Great Depression was, and perhaps will follow the same pattern, a prolonged financial crisis followed by a world war to condition the masses to accept a new social order and a one-world monetary system which will require the allegiance of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. The demise of the beast's first world reserve currency, the U.S. Federal Reserve dollar, only serves the purpose of making way for the new and final form of Satan's monetary system, as foretold by the Bible. The blame for this demise and current financial crisis will be placed on the scapegoat of American capitalism and resultant greed. However, all safeguards have purposely been legislated away precisely to bring about the present crisis. Behind the scenes, it will be the same power, the power that comes from the dragon, which also controls the coming Mark of the Beast monetary system. But this time, it will be worldwide and enforced. The Social Security system in America has been the pattern for the new social order, which has now spread to every nation. When the time comes to pledge allegiance to the new world social order, for many, the transition will be seamless, but for the elect of God, it may require their very lives, also foretold of Bible prophecy. Now you may ask, what should we do? Walk in the Spirit, and you will be led by the Spirit. The Creator calls His elect to obey His commandments. Allow His Holy Spirit to bring forth the fruit of repentance in your life, the good works which God has before ordained that we might walk in them. If you cannot obey Him now, how do you think He will lead you when the time is critical? Learn to trust and obey Him now, and you will be able to hear and obey Him through the global Great Depression, coming World War, and 40 years Inquisition. Cross the border into His kingdom. Obey the King and live forever. Nothing is more important.
Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that little clip. That's that's a trailer that I've put out, a clip from the Greatest Prophecy DVD that you just heard. I've titled The Global Great Depression. You can also see that clip on my website. If you go to crosstheborder.org, it's the latest posting, so it'll be right there at the top. So hope you'll spread that around. When you get to the website, there's a Facebook button or a share button there. And you'll also see a follow button so you can sign up for the blog. Please do both of those things. Share it. Spread it around. I hope that everyone within the hearing of my voice is ready for the times that are coming upon the whole earth. It's unavoidable if you're going to live. And I plan on living, you know. If I can get 120, if I can live to the limit that I find in the scripture, then I should be able to make it to the resurrection. I could just squeak in there, because if it's another 60 years off and I've already lived that long, then 120 is kind of pushing the limit there, isn't it? So when the Messiah returns, it could happen. I'm game if he is, but if he wants to take me in the meantime, if I could be martyred for him, but the fact is I want to live and I want to work for his kingdom and store up as much treasure in his kingdom as I possibly can, because, you know, today is the day and this is never going to happen again. This mortal life and the work we have to do here is a one-shot deal. That's why I don't have an escapist mentality or anything like that. I wish the Lord would come today because life is so terrible. Whatever. You know, yeah, there's trials and tribulations. There's ups and there's downs. There's joys and there's sorrows. So what? It's okay. But what am I really here to do? You know, the joys and the happy times and all of the pleasures, you know, help to make it bearable. And the trials and the tribulations help to strengthen me and help me and the host of heaven to see who I am in Messiah. So I'll stand and I'll stay and I'll work as long as I can, as long as it pleases him. And I hope it pleases him for a long, long time. There you go. I decided that since we have finished Job, I'm going to jump into one of the most famousest, if that's a word, of scripture verses. And everyone knows it. You see a sign even when you go to football games. Yeah, never mind, I'm not going to comment on football. John 3:16. Y'all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, of course, this is, you know, if you just take that out of context, you can make it pretty much say whatever you want. You know, you can believe about it what you want. But we have to take it into context. And the gospel of the kingdom is the context. Because he begins, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, answers, and he's speaking to Nicodemus, who comes to him and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a rabbi come from God, a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do. And see, that's what the miracles were there for. They were there to verify to the faithful and the righteous that this was from the Almighty. Okay? For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here we have, this is about the kingdom of God. And unless you're born again, you can't see it. So we have another element to crossing the border into his kingdom, and that is the element of being born again. You know, and here's where the whole once saved, always saved doctrine comes again. If someone's born again, yeah, I think they're once saved, always saved. But how do we know if we're born again? Could someone believe they're born again and not be? Could I believe about someone that they're born again and they aren't? Well, yeah, I could. It's true. But he says, if I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you have to be born first of water, which is of the flesh, and then of the Spirit. Or perhaps he's talking about a spiritual baptism here. It could go either way. But water and of the Spirit, of course, the Spirit being the key thing that I can pin down, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And, oh, I want to enter, yeah. So I must be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that new birth is something different. You don't, everyone doesn't just get it. So when people say, we were all the sons of God, well, in a way, but not in this way, not in the Spirit way. So there's two separate births there. He says, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So I said, when someone's born of the Spirit, you can't tell just by looking at them. It's like the wind, you know, it's that elusive. Now, you could tell by observing their life, perhaps, if they bear the fruit of the Spirit, but you can't just tell by looking at them, you know, whether they're born again. That's the object of that statement. So Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily I say to you, we speak that which we do know, and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended to heaven but him that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So he's already seated there. He's already seated in that spiritual realm. He proclaims it there. That realm that I begin my opening with. We're getting to it. John 3:16. No man has, okay, read that. Chapter 14, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there it is, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know what I notice here? That it's the believing in him. Many people believe about him or on him, but do you believe in him? Now, what does it mean to believe? And I think that's really what we need to define here. Is this a simple acknowledgement of a fact? Is that enough of belief? The simple, I believe in God? Is that enough? I think it goes beyond that. So we need to search and find out, what does it mean to believe? There's more to this. I mean, if this was all there was, we could just end the book here, couldn't we? It was just simple acknowledging the fact that the Messiah was real and he existed, and that was what belief entailed, but it goes beyond this. So he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So what does it mean to believe? Because this is very important. I have to believe, so I have to understand what he means by believe. It's not just simply holding a fact to be true or having acknowledgement of something that happened. It's got to be more than that, because even the devil believes in God. But is he saved? No. Is he condemned? Yes. So it's got to go beyond just a simple acknowledgement of a fact. We have to believe in him and on him. And that means that we believe in what he's done, what he stands for, the words he says, and everything that comes with who he is. We believe. We trust in him. And he says, who believeth not, and he hath not believed. Okay. But he that believeth not is condemned already. So now he's going to define what it means to believeth not. So for me to understand what it means to believe, he's going to define for me to what it means to believe not. So he that believeth not is condemned already. So here's what it means to not believe. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is what it means to believe not. Light's come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. So there's a sign of those that believeth not. They may believe that Jesus came. They may believe he, but do they love the darkness rather than the light? They love darkness rather than light. Let's read on. Let's see if we can understand what it means to believeth not a little bit more. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So that's what it means to believe not. So if you want to know if you believe not, you do evil and you hate the light and you don't come to the light, lest your deeds be reproved. So, you know, there is the definition of repentance also. So people who continue in their sins, they don't have their evil deeds reproved by the light. That means that these are the people that believeth not. So if we understand what it means to believeth not, then we understand what it means to believe. If you believe, you come to the light. You allow your deeds to be reproved by that light. That's the process of repentance, of having his law written in your mind and upon your heart. That's what it means to believe. You allow him, his Holy Spirit, to reprove your evil deeds that you might stop doing them. Otherwise, you are one that believeth not. But he that doeth truth... Now, this is important. See, now, he that doeth truth. This is contrary to those that believe not. So these are those that believe. So this is what it means to believe. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. You let the light shine in your darkness. Okay? That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that's what it means to believe. So it goes beyond just the one verse, John 3:16. We have to understand what the Messiah is saying about them that believeth not, and those that believe, to make sure that we are among those that believe. And if we are born again, for you must be born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and we were all born in the flesh. Yep, there's no doubt about that. But very few are born in the Spirit. There are a lot of people who are assured. They may go to a great crusade or be led in prayer by someone, but unless you see the evidence that they are among those who believe, or in the other words of the Messiah, but he that doeth truth, unless you see that they doeth truth and they believe, and they're not among those that believeth not, who don't come to the light, who don't have their deeds reproved by the light, they don't allow the light to shine into their darkness. And what is the reason? Because they love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. They love the pleasure of sin, and they do not want to give it up. Come to the light. Cross the border into his kingdom. This is the gospel of the kingdom. You know, we've seen, I've demonstrated clearly, the scripture demonstrates, the Messiah demonstrated, the apostles, the disciples demonstrated that the gospel was even in the Old Testament. It's there from the beginning to the end. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And these are the ones that I'm always saying, yes, they choose to pay the price for their own sins. It's not so simple as saying words, like casting a spell, witchcraft. And that's what they do. They think they say the magic words. That's like practicing witchcraft. Say the magic words, repeat after me, and once saved, always saved, and no one's ever going to snatch you out of their hands. And they walk away with these words of assurance, but they don't believe unto repentance. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and reprove their works and have his law, the law of the King, of the kingdom of heaven, written upon their minds and their hearts, so that it's in their heart. And if he writes his law upon your mind and in your heart, then you're compelled to put off those works of darkness that go against what's now written in your heart. You are driven to learn obedience and to live your life in a way that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. His righteousness is imputed to you by the blood of the Messiah, by whose blood we are found worthy to be born into the spiritual realm and receive that earnest down payment. Search your heart, search your lives, look for the fruit of the Spirit. If it isn't there, then repent. It's never too late to repent. The thief on the cross proved that. It's never too late to do a good thing. Come to the light. And that's how I interpret John 3:16. Okay, well, we've still got a few minutes left. And I'm not taking calls today, so we'll just find something to do with this. Well, I just want to say thank you to all the supporters out there. And if the Heavenly Father or His Holy Spirit has been prompting you to support the work here, we do need your support now more than ever. We've got quite a ministry here. The Heavenly Father keeps me very busy. A lot of work in keeping two internet broadcast radio stations going 24/7. My website and my personal ministry cross the border. Plus whatever else I can do for the Heavenly Father. I have my own family here too, and a single parent, being a widowed single parent. Keeps me very busy, to say the least. So if the Heavenly Father prompts you to give to this ministry, then give to it. Order my DVD. I'd like to give it to you anyway. And I'm willing to give it to you for free if you just write me. You can find the address on the website by clicking on the DVD. There's a picture of the DVD there. You can click on that and get the information. Or you can pay $5 for postage. I think it's $12.50 for international priority mail. That's the cheapest way to do it and send it internationally. And anything above that would be a donation. But I've updated the video and added about 3 hours worth of audio programming at the end of it, plus put the What Year Is It booklet right on the DVD. And not only that, we send it in the booklet form with the DVD. So if you want to support this broadcast, do ask for that and send whatever the Heavenly Father moves you to send to help support the work here. And store up your treasure with me in the heavenly places where moth does not corrupt, neither can thieves break through and steal. Nobody can ever take it from you. And just keep your reservation in His kingdom and lay down the reservation to sin. That's right. And go for the prize. Invest in His kingdom. It's the greatest investment you'll ever make. And the yield for that investment is beyond any investment that you could imagine. That's right. Certainly not like putting your money in the bank, your dollars in the bank, and watch them diminish while they tax you on the phony increase. No, the kingdom of heaven doesn't work like that. The things which appear were made out of things which do not appear by the Almighty Creator. So we can't say that He made it all out of nothing, but He made it out of something that doesn't appear, that we can't see. And the substance of that is far greater than the substance of the entire world. As the scripture says, what profiteth it a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You're listening to Cross the Border. And remember, in everything you say and everything you do, bless the holy name of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.